Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. That's in the Old Testament, one of the old prophets, major prophets, Isaiah chapter 55. And you got to know, in order to cut right to the chase here, I am leaving out all kinds of background information about Isaiah I would love to give you. But I will just say that Isaiah chapter 55 is part of an ongoing prophetic word to the people of God, a word that both promises and describes as well the one who would come as our Savior, Jesus, the Messiah. Isaiah 55 is about the person and impact of Jesus. It's not surprising because it's in Isaiah, particularly chapter 40 and following, that we get many of the prophetic passages about Jesus that we love to quote. Isaiah 53 about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Somebody should say, thank you, Lord. We all like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. One more time. Thank you, Lord, right? Isaiah 61, right? That passage you've heard me reference many times. The passage that Jesus uses himself to launch his ministry. He's given the opportunity to read scripture in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. He's handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he finds the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That was a prophetic word about the coming Messiah that Jesus then claims as his own. He says, hey, this verse, you guys have been looking forward to its fulfillment. It's talking about me, which is really awesome, right? Here's something I want you to notice for this morning, that these kinds of passages don't just tell us that God is sending us a Redeemer, they also tell us about what that Redeemer will be like. And indirectly, then, they tell us something about what the God who sends that Redeemer is like, about who he is, about the kind of things that resonate in his very being. So, we just read it. Isaiah 53 tells us that Jesus will be the one who bears our burdens, who pays the penalty for our sins. And Isaiah 61 tells us that Jesus will set free the oppressed. And all of that tells us something about God himself and about who he is and about what he's like. So, understanding that speaks to the character of God himself, I want you to hear what God speaks through Isaiah in chapter 55 and to notice then what it tells us about the God we serve. Here's what God says. Come. Everybody just say that word. All you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, what? Without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I don't think I have to tell you, but listen, that is a passionate, arms wide open, no questions asked. If you are hearing me, you qualify, invitation from God himself. It is an invitation to relationship. It is an invitation to the kind of wholeness that we were formed for. It is a cry to God's wandering children, please come home. It is God himself extending a rich and unmistakable welcome home. How many of you know this? People have all kinds of opinions about who God is. I think it might be good this morning, right? I mean, people think some think he's aloof and disinterested, and some seem as inept and bumbling, and some seem as just some great big ball of mush, you know, a God to whom nothing matters, but that God is love, so everything else is okay. Let's just sit in a circle and sing Kumbaya. Sometimes I think we'd do better to let God speak for himself. Maybe especially given that he's God, he's the person most qualified to declare his nature, to declare his character, to declare what matters most to him. And here in Isaiah 55, what God says about himself, what God reveals about himself, is that it is the heart of God, it is the nature of God to look for and to work for and even, yes, to plead for reconciliation and restoration of relationship with any who have wandered from him, and all of us like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way. It's the heart of God to pursue, we know this from Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. It is the reason Jesus came, we know this from Luke chapter 19, to seek and to save that which is lost. God is, if he's about anything, he is about extending an open-hearted and unmistakable welcome home. It's one of his most dominating qualities. This quest to be reconciled to and enter into ongoing relationship with us. I think we might remind ourselves this morning that we stand in relationship with God only because of that. Only because he asked. Only because he's invited us. We didn't have any grounds on which to approach God. Any merit from which to approach God. We didn't have any basis on which we might enter his presence. Apart from his initiative. Apart from his invitation. We were what? Without hope and without God in the world. And that, my friend, do I need to tell you this? That is a terrible place to be. You ever been on the outside looking in? Yeah, I know this is hard for you to believe. I think I've told you this before. There were days when my athletic prowess did not have me being the first person picked for whatever team was, you know, happening next. Yeah, I know. Years of therapy. I still haven't sorted it out. I know it's hard to believe. Basketball even. Can you imagine they didn't pick me first? I don't understand it. All right. Well, last one picked, right? In one way or another, I'm guessing all of us in some fashion or another have been there. Last one picked when they're choosing up sides for sports, or last one without a date to the prom, or I had a solution for that. I didn't go to prom. Fix that right off, right? The one who's always overlooked when the crew from work gets together after work or heads out for lunch during work. And the fact is, there's probably not a more miserable or lonely place to be than on the outside looking in. But if you think it's tough, my friend, on the school playground or the high school dance or some other social context, maybe we ought to take a moment or two and remind ourselves of what it was like for us and what it remains to be for those who are yet on the outside of relationship with Christ today, to be on the outside looking in when it comes to the universe, when it comes to the cosmos, when it comes to the Creator and all his plans for the ages and all his purpose for eternity. It is a big, dark, empty existence out there, and apart from God's invitation, apart from God's please, you're welcome here, back into relationship with him through Jesus Christ, unspeakable emptiness. Apart from that, unspeakable emptiness is anything all of us would have ever known. But because God dared to invite us into it, because God dared to invite us into it, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who, see, here's a good amen opportunity. And you who have no money. You understand it's metaphorical, all right? But it's still true. We have no merit. We have no basis. We don't have anything to offer God when we come to this thing. And yet to those of us who have no resource by which to merit a relationship with him, you who have no money, come, buy and eat wine and milk without money, without cost, because God dared to invite us into it. We have life. Because God pleaded with us toward it, invited us aggressively into it. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy, because God challenged and beckoned us to it. Listen to me. Eat what is good. Your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear. Come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Only because of that we have life. We have a relationship with God through Christ today because He has invited us into relationship. Because He has welcomed us home. And He extended that invitation to us because it is His nature to do so. Our God is a welcome home kind of God. Love what it says about Jesus in John chapter 7. This great Jewish feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles, on the last and greatest day of the feast, right? This feast has been going on for a week, and it's the last day, it's the big day, it's the big blow, and Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone, everybody say anyone, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever, everybody say whoever. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from. If anyone is thirsty, come. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and sup with him and he with me. It is God's nature. It is God's character to beckon, to encourage, to exhort his children back home. That's why any of us enjoy the relationship with God that we say means so much to us today. And friend, if it is God's passion to welcome, it is our calling to do the same. If it is God's passion to welcome, it is our calling to do the same. I'm going to say that one more time. Not for your response. I just think it bears repeating. If it is God's passion to welcome people home, it is our calling to do the same. You know that I love the story that is told about Jesus in John chapter 4, where Jesus makes his way through the despised region of Samaria, because somehow he knows that in Samaria he'll meet a woman deeply in need of welcome home, deeply in need of a Savior who will knock on the door of her heart. When she discovers that the man with whom she's visiting is the promised Messiah, when she sees in him and hears from him the welcome home of God himself, when she discovers that there is someone who loves her unconditionally, who acts towards her redemptively, who sees her in that way that she was formed purposefully, the Bible says that she leaves her water jar right there beside the well where she was discussing all this with Jesus. She leaves her old stale water at her old stale well, and the Bible says she went back to the town and she said to the people she had sought to avoid so much with her life, she said to the people, come. Whoa, that sounds like a familiar word to me. Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She declared the welcome home that she herself had received. Sometimes we make it harder than it ought to be. I know some of us are afraid to welcome people home because we think it gets complicated. Sometimes, you know, we're not called to arguments about Christ or apologetics for Christ. I'm not saying there's not a place for that. The reality is, though, that we're not called to sell people on Jesus. We're just called to echo the invitation. Somebody talk you into Jesus, you can talk yourself right back out of it. But if somebody's been full of rivers of living water, and what they've experienced, they extend to you, and you're dry and thirsty, listen, that looks appealing, doesn't it? Had enough? Weary enough? Thirsty enough? Dry enough for you? Come, all who are thirsty. I like the word come. I like the word all. Come to the waters. You have no money. Come buy and eat and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Please, welcome home. It's the cry of the heart of God. It is the cry of the heart of God. And it is a cry that must echo through us. Very last chapter of the Bible, almost the very last verses in Revelation. A lot of conversation these days about the book of Revelation. A lot of people have devoted a lot of hours to find out, you know, what the book of Revelation reveals about the last days, the end of the time, the end of the world. I'll just remind you that Revelation is not primarily the revelation of last things. It is the revelation of the living King. It is the revelation of Jesus in all His glory as time passes into eternity. And Revelation, see, if we're going to be the people of God, then we ought to start looking a little like God looks. If we're going to bear testimony and witness to who God is, then maybe we ought to know what's close to God's heart. This is all I'm trying to say this morning. And Revelation ends with this declaration straight from the lips of Jesus Himself. It's something He says three times in this last chapter, Revelation chapter 22. Behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I am coming soon. And then there is, listen, and then there is this invitation, right? I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. The Spirit and the Bride then. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. The Spirit and the Bride, believing Jesus, taking Him at His word. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come. All who are thirsty. I know from reading Isaiah, from reading John, from reading Revelation, I know that the Spirit, God's Spirit says, come. And my concern this morning, my challenge this morning is to make sure that we just as passionately say, come. Right? You know who the bride is in this passage. The Spirit and the Bride. Who's the bride? We're the bride. The true bride of Christ declares full-heartedly, come, energetically, enthusiastically, with intentionality, the people of God say, welcome home. I think it was early last year we began to talk about this more intentionally, that my heart for JAG Church, one of the things I'm hungry is that we become the most welcoming church in the county. What county? Your county. All right? Not just Jefferson County. Your county. If you're from Jackson County, I would like for JAG Church to be the most welcoming church in your county. If you're from Shawnee County, I'd like for JAG Church to be the most welcoming church in Shawnee County. And I named those two counties because that's where most Jagonians are from. I know that there are great churches all across Northeast Kansas. Why couldn't God do something that would help us out welcome them all? That's not a competition. We're not in competition. We're in partnership. But what are we about? What are we about? Not supposed to say stupid from the pulpit, are you? Then you didn't hear me say it's stupid that what we get so busy with is passing disgruntled Christians from one church to another when we're supposed to be saying, welcome home! Welcome home! Welcome home! What's happened to our commission? What's happened to our calling? Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money. We check people off because they don't measure up our specifications for who we'd like to be and have in our church. Jesus says, go stick your head underwater for a while. It's kind of a baptism analogy. Because he doesn't put those kind of parameters out there, does he? Got no money? No problem. Come on. There's a place at the table for you. Buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Please welcome, welcome, welcome home. Stand with me, please. I understand that there are systems and processes that help churches do that. And we're working diligently to make sure that our systems and processes are right. But you know what? You can have all the systems and processes on the planet, and if the people of God don't have a heart for welcome, it's not going to matter. Oh, I'll say that again. You can say amen. You can have all the systems and processes in the world, but if God's people, the heart of God's people doesn't say, welcome, welcome, welcome home, not going to matter. And the truth is, systems and processes can be less than perfect, but if the heart is in the right place, people know how to connect with that. People know how to connect with that. I want us to be a church that knows how to say, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. I'll change direction just a little bit and tell you that I know as well that you can't give what you feel like you don't have, right? Help me turn a corner here. Because you've heard my heart. You know it. You know that's what we want. I sense that's what we want. You're here this morning and you're not yet a Christ follower, and you know that I've spent the last 20, 30 minutes just talking to people who are. Please forgive me. But the fact is, if we don't get this right, then you may never know how much Jesus loves you. You may never know. You may never know how wide open he throws his arms to say to you, welcome home. Church cannot afford to screw this up. So we get that. We get it. My heart senses you're committed to it. You want it, all right? Started to say, it's tough to give what you don't have. Jesus said, freely you've received. Freely you've received, freely give. Maybe I'm wrong, but here's what I think this morning. Here's where I want to change directions as we close this service, is that some of you are just troubled enough in your own life, and that's not a criticism, it's a reality. Some of you are challenged enough in your own situation that it's just difficult for you to throw out an unfettered invitation. Kind of tough to be fully loving towards others when you're old, when your own heart is just kind of twisted up. You know, just heavy burden, whatever. Hard to cry out, welcome home. Well, I want you to know that this promise, that this invitation, that this truth about this opened arm, no questions asked, I've got wine and milk without money and without cost for you, come as you are, invitation from the God we serve is true for you today. You follow me on that, right? The invitation stands for as much as we need it, as often as we need it, for however long you've known Jesus, for whatever you're walking through today. His cry to you, so that it can be poured through you to others, is welcome home. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come, receive rivers of living water. Come, those who have no money, buy wine and milk without cost. I've got what you need. I'll supply what you need. And if that's you this morning and you just need Jesus to do something in your heart, I want you to step towards the front of this sanctuary and begin to cry out to Jesus, and let us pray for you and believe with you so that he does in you what he wants. I don't want you to wait till I pray. That was a step towards us now. Come on. There are people who need God to do something in your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on. I think, am I wrong? Place ought to be full. Come on. You're good? You got everything that Jesus you need? I'm not trying to whip something up, but I want us to be responsive to the Spirit this morning. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's somebody you want to pray with? Come on up. We're just going to pray for a little bit now. Come on. Come, everyone who is thirsty. Come, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the water. Come to the water. You who have no money, come, buy, eat, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Welcome.
Jesus is calling.